You know, the first Sunday of the new year, it's kind of one of those Sundays where you think, well, you know, should we give a nice New Year's message, word of encouragement, you know, in line with all the New Year's resolutions sort of thing? And you think, what should we talk? And I just was really looking forward to getting back into Matthew. And I just thought, you know, I'm not gonna venture off onto something else. I'm just going to get into Matthew. But as I was just kind of reviewing some things from what we talked about, there was a passage that just kind of really was hitting me that I wanted to camp on a bit this morning. And I pray that this would be an encouragement to us today and something that we can take and put in our hearts and our minds for this coming year. Matthew chapter 21. Verse 18 and 19. I want to talk today about the fruitless fig tree. Because as we went through this passage a few weeks ago, we learned that bearing fruit is really what it's all about for the believer. Believers in the Lord are to be those that are bearing fruit for Him. And as we look at this miracle of the fig tree, or you can say the condemnation of this fig tree, Jesus is pointing us to the subject of hypocrisy. There was a college in a nice Midwestern town that was having a parent weekend, a chance for parents to come to the college and visit the campus where their kids are at and being educated, and just a chance to kind of be together for a weekend. And there was a local tavern in town, and the tavern knew that parent weekend was coming up, so they put up a sign that said, "Bring your parents this weekend. We'll pretend we don't know you." And a church kind of got wind of that, and they put up their own sign that said, "Bring your parents this weekend. We'll pretend that we do know you." Hypocrisy, it's something that we all need to be wary of, pretending that sort of idea. One person said that the secret of success is sincerity. And the sooner that you can fake it that, then you're on your way. And it's true, it's something that we all need to be careful of, wary of, watching out for. This idea of hypocrisy, trying to put on an act, that's what hypocrisy is really all about. And it's something that we kind of see in this fruitless fig tree. Are we being those that are bearing fruit or just putting on a bunch of show as though we are, when really, in fact, we're quite barren? The question we need to ask ourselves. And I love the beginning of the new year to kind of contemplate things like that, to look at the past year. Where have I been at? And to realize, you know, Lord, I just want you to work in me because I want to be different than I was last year. I want to be more like you this coming year than I was the past year. I want to be one that's bearing fruit. And so as we look at the fate of this figless fig tree, this fruitless fig tree, we're going to draw from it some important lessons as to why this tree was fruitless. Let's read it together, verse 18 and 19. It says, "Now in the morning, as he returned to the city," he's coming back into Jerusalem. Remember what he did the day before, Jesus. He cleansed the temple. Remember that scene? He was staying out in Bethany. And so he's coming back into the city of Jerusalem. This is just a few days before he's going to go to the cross. And it says in verse 18 that he was hungry. "And seeing a fig tree by the road, he came to it and found nothing on it but leaves, and said to it, 'Let no fruit grow on you ever again.' Immediately the fig tree withered away." I want to look at three things today, lessons that we can learn from this fig tree. I want to look at three things about this fig tree. I want to look at the total isolation of the fig tree. I want to look at the outward demonstration by the fig tree. And then look at the practical application from this fig tree. Total isolation, outward demonstration, and inward application. It says there that he saw a fig tree by the road. That word, and when you look at the Greek in that word "a," it's really implying the only one. It's implying that there was only one. In fact, some translations of this verse say that there was a lone fig tree by the road, seeing a lone fig tree by the road. This fig tree, you see, was all alone. One reason why this fig tree was not bearing any fruit was that there was no cross-pollination taking place. It's a fact of biology. It's a fact of life that this fig tree was fruitless because of its isolation. There were no other trees around it. No cross-pollination to fertilize it and to bring the fruit out of it. And so too, as believers, we can find ourselves busying ourselves with other things. We may find ourselves skipping a Bible study here, missing a Sunday service there, and soon it's possible and easy to find ourselves away from church more than we are at church. And at first you think, that's no problem. I've sat through 100 services before. I know it all. No big deal. But you see, there's a certain dynamic that takes place as God's people come together to worship, to pray, and to study His Word. There is a great dynamic that begins to unfold as God's people come together. You see, there's a spiritual cross-pollination that begins to happen here in our midst, here in our lives, as we assemble together. In fact, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 to 25 says, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works." And this is the key, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We're told to not forsake the assembly of one another. Why? Because there is something fruitful that begins to happen as we come together. There is a spiritual dynamic that takes place, a spiritual cross-pollination that begins to happen as believers come together. We begin to encourage one another, edify each other. We begin to be equipped in the Lord and in His Word. There's fruit that begins to be birthed as a result of coming together as we are. Now, maybe this word isn't for you today. It's New Year's Day. Some of us have stayed up late, and yet you guys are here. I commend you for that. That's exciting to see. But I pray that we'd be those that begin to make meeting together a real priority in our lives. You may not feel like you need it, but maybe somebody else does. Maybe the Lord wants to work through you to bless another person, to begin to plant a seed, to begin to water that seed, to begin to see fruit being birthed in another person. Maybe God wants to use you to be that one that helps another. We're told to stir up love and good works. What's the fruit of the Spirit? Love. Yes, and we see it played out, demonstrated in all those other things that we see in Galatians 5:22. But the fruit, singularly, is love. A work to come together to stir up love and good works. In the King James, it says, "Come together, let us consider one another to provoke unto love." Provoke. Have you ever felt provoked? When you're provoked, it causes you to do something. My kids, they will kind of, you know, sometimes get upset at one another, and they will begin to wrestle around. Something will happen, and another person reacts a certain way, and they'll say, you know, well, he did this to me. And in other words, they're saying, this guy provoked me to do that. And so it is as we come together, not provoking negatively where we begin to wail on each other and then we respond with more violence. No, we provoke one another in a positive way where we begin just to encourage each other and say, hey, man, I was reading this book the other day, or I was reading this book of the Bible. Man, I was working through Jeremiah. It was just great. And the Lord was teaching me this, and somebody else is hearing that going, man, I should really maybe read through that. I should get into that. That sounds good. I want the Lord to speak to me that same way. You come together. Hey, man, I was just on this mission trip the other day. Oh, it's just awesome, man, what God was doing. And you begin to kind of provoke one another. You know, what have you been up to? You know, and that person's sitting, mission trip. Hey, well, all right, you know, I can do that. I'm going to go on a mission trip. I'm going to go out right now and into my neighborhood and begin to witness. And we begin to provoke one another as we share what the Lord's doing in our lives. We begin to be provoked where it's not a bad thing where we're feeling, I'm going to outdo that person. No, the Lord just begins to work in us where we say, man, I want to do that. I want to be involved in that same kind of way. Where we provoke one another to love and to good works. We're stirring that up in each other. This cross-pollination that begins to happen spiritually in our midst as we assemble together, as we do not forsake the assembling of one another. You see, Our God is called the Father, and he loves it when his children come together. In the Smith household, when it's time for dinner, I don't say, Cole, hit your room. Madison, hit your room. Jaden, you go in the living room. Levi, we'll put you wherever we can hear you. And it's not that we spread ourselves out and we begin to serve dinner to each other wherever the person... No, we come together. Why? Because it's a chance to interact. It's a chance to share with one another. It's a valuable time to grow with one another. And so too, God loves it when his family comes together, because it's an essential, valuable time where we begin to grow with one another in his word. It's a chance where we can be fed and encourage one another. God loves it when we do that. And this is where fruit, again, begins to be produced. If you're living an isolated Christian life, you may feel healthy enough for a time. You may be able to produce some leaves as though there is something there. Leaves of theology or leaves of relationship. But you will lack in the area of fruit if you're living as an isolated Christian. We need each other. And it's an important dynamic at work when Christians come together and stir one another up. It's a necessity for each believer. I pray as we enter into this new year that we'll be those that are making it a priority to come together. I pray that the Lord would open up doors for us to have more times throughout the week where we can come together to encourage each other, to stir one another up. You might again feel like, I'm all right. But allow yourself to be that vessel for God to work through, to be a blessing to one another. Come together. That's what God wants. Let's make that a priority. We see in this tree this total isolation of the fig tree, and it was not bearing fruit. We also see the outward demonstration by this fig tree, because as Jesus approached the tree, he saw it had leaves. Now, the fruit of a fig tree would precede the leaves. So when you see leaves on a fig tree, you can usually reckon that there's going to be fruit accompanying it. But Jesus approaches the fig tree and sees there's no fruit. The fig tree, as we went through this a few weeks ago, we saw the fig tree was an important picture or illustration of the nation of Israel. Throughout the Old Testament, we see Israel likened to a fig tree. I shared verses on that before. Jeremiah 8, verse 13, Hosea 9, verse 10 and 16, Luke 13, verse 6 to 5, verse 6 to 9. Verse 6 to 5, you go backwards and then you'll know. Verse 6 to 9. And we see that Israel is likened to a fig tree, just as we see today the eagle as a representation or picture of America, the bear being a symbol of Russia, and the Tasmanian devil being a picture of my son Cole. And we see a lot of these types and symbolism. And we see that with the fig tree and Israel. You see, Israel was a nation birthed by God to display his wonders and to show his marvelous works to the world all around them. But as they walked in disobedience, they continually were judged. Now, the scene in the New Testament was one of a people that still felt they were a privileged bunch. They still had their temple. They still had their practices of religion. They had their religious leaders, the Pharisees, Sadducees. They had their Torah. But like this fig tree, it was simply a bunch of leaves and no fruit. There was an outward display, outward demonstration towards God, but not an inward relationship with God. And the scene with this fig tree is picturing this nation of Israel. And so as Jesus approaches the fig tree and curses it, he was pronouncing the condition of Israel. There is no fruit found within the nation. And they too would suffer and be withered up. For some 40 years after this, Jerusalem would be attacked by the Romans at the leading of Titus. The temple was destroyed. Many were killed, and Israel was scattered, losing its homeland for almost 2,000 years. Until, of course, that is the miracle of 1948 when Israel regained its country. But the lesson of Israel is quite clear. When we stop producing fruit, we will easily dry up. We find ourselves at a loss. We may think that we have it all together, when the next moment we're totally wiped out. We're withered up. We're dry. Let's be careful of hypocrisy. Let's be careful of putting on a show as though everything is good. Let's be those that are not content with outward demonstration, but are seeking the fruit that comes from a life that's connected to the vine. You see, it's easy to come to church Sunday after Sunday, Bible study Wednesday after Wednesday, and come and putting on that outward demonstration as though, I'm Mr. Christian. I know the word. Oh, that's good. That's all fine. Everything's together. I'm serving the Lord. Everything's all right. And it's easy to put on that outward demonstration. But throughout the week, throughout the rest of the times, we're not bearing any fruit. We're finding ourselves just withering up. And if we continue on in that fruitlessness, we will soon find ourselves at a loss, just like this nation of Israel. May we be those, like it says in John 15, that are abiding in the vine, being connected to the vine, bearing the fruit that the Lord desires in our lives, not putting on an outward demonstration, but instead showing forth true fruit, outward demonstration by the fig tree. Let's look at the inward application from this fig tree. When was the first time we see mention of a fig tree in the Bible? Well, you go back to Genesis chapter 3. You see, it was when Adam and Eve had sinned. And they quickly realized their nakedness. They saw their shame. So they took fig leaves to cover themselves. You know the scene. You know the account. Genesis 3 verse 7, more literally. They covered themselves with fig leaves. And it seems that this is the way with our human nature. We're aware of our sinfulness, yet we try to cover it up with an act that all is well. Everything's all right. I'm good. I'm a good person. And we seek to sometimes cover up those areas in our lives with the fig leaves, with an act as though we've got it together. Look at my leaves. I'm healthy. I'm doing all right. We put on an outward demonstration, but we're torn up inside, knowing the conflict that sin brings. And the end result is a life of uncomfortableness. You see, fig leaves tend to have a bit of these little prickles on the leaves. So you can imagine Adam and Eve as they begin to dress themselves in these fig leaves. It was not God's intent, and it would have left them very uncomfortable, very awkward, not feeling so hot. And you see, as we try to cover ourselves up with that outward demonstration that everything's all right, we begin to find ourselves uncomfortable. We're not content, or we're not satisfied, because we're not doing what we were created to do, and that is to bear fruit. You see, that's what we were created to do. That's what it's all about for the believer, bearing fruit. John 15, verse 16 says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you." Let me say that again. He says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and what? Bear fruit. I've appointed you that you should go and bear fruit." That's what he has called us to do. Fruit bearing is not for this Christian over here or for that person individually to do. Fruit bearing is for us all to be involved in doing. We're all called to be fruit bearers. Jesus loves to enjoy the fruit from our lives. And I pray that as he approaches us, he may find fruit. He desires to come and partake and enjoy that fruit that we're offering up to him. And I pray that as he approaches us, he may find fruit. So what do you do if you feel you're a little empty on the branches? What do you do if you feel like you're living somewhat of a fruitless life? Well, let's look at Luke chapter 13. We're going to pick it up in verse 6. It says in Luke 13, verse 6, "He also spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, look, for 3 years I've come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground? But he answered and said to him, sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well. But if not, after that, you can cut it down. You see, this fig tree was barren for 3 years. He says, look, for 3 years I've come seeking fruit on this fig tree. 3 years Jesus came ministering in the nation of Israel and found no fruit. The owner wanted to cut down, but the vine dresser pleaded. The vine dresser pleaded for one more year, just as our Lord ever lives to make intercession for us. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Lord's saying, just one more year. Give me one more year with these people. You might feel today like you're living a fruitless life. But the Lord has you in his hand, and the Lord is pleading, just give me one more year. Let this be the year where we begin to see fruit born. But you see, it was to be a year of digging and fertilizing. Now, over in Mark, don't turn there, but over in Mark 11, verse 20, the parallel passage that we see with Matthew 21, verse 18 and 19, we see that the fig tree withered up and was dried up from the roots. You see, the roots were the hidden things of the tree, but it was that which was to bring stability and strength to the tree. The roots are those things that are unseen. And I ask, what's happening in the quiet, secret, hidden times of our lives? Have we dried up in our inner core? Is there a desire to commune with God and to communicate with Him? Are we desiring to fellowship with our Lord and have a heart for Him? Because it's those things that really matter. It's those things that will begin to provide stability and strength and ultimately satisfaction in our lives. It's that which will begin to produce fruit and please our Father in heaven. And maybe we need to have a time where there are some digging, some getting to the roots, getting to the core of the problem. We need to ask the Lord to examine us, to dig around our hearts, find out what's going on below the surface. Psalm 139, verses 23 to 24 says, search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. And you know, it's sometimes a very painful experience. It can be a very painful procedure to get uprooted. We get exposed to the things that are hidden away, those things that we don't want to deal with. But as those things begin to get uprooted, seen, and dealt with, and ripped away, room is opened up for fruit to grow. You see, what's happening below the surface? What's happening in that root system in our lives? Maybe there's a root of bitterness. Maybe there's a root of anger. Maybe there's a root of jealousy, or a root of pride that's hindering us, that's blocking fruit from growing. Maybe that root system has been dried up, but the Lord says, give me one more year. Let me dig around it. Let me begin to expose those things that are getting in the way, that are hindering. And you see, it's a time that hurts. It's something that we like to put off. But I pray that we'd be those that say, Lord, search me. Examine me. See if there be any wicked way in me. God, expose those things to me, that we can have those things dealt with, that we can have those things rooted out, so that there can be room for fruit to grow. Now, as room is opened up for fruit to grow, it's not enough to be satisfied with that. It's not enough just to say now, okay, great, we got those things dealt with. You see, we need to be fertilized. What does fertilizer do? Fertilizer promotes growth, doesn't it? Not enough just to have that openness in our heart and say, okay, great, thanks for dealing with that, and then go on our merry way. We need to pray, Lord, now begin to fertilize my heart. Begin to pour that fertilizer into my life that will begin to promote growth. And so it is, as we assemble together for Bible study, prayer, and praise, it's fertilizing our heart. It's beginning to promote growth, which will in turn produce fruit. That's why we make the Word of God a priority when we come together. Because it's the Word of God that begins to get planted in our hearts that will begin to produce and promote growth and then ultimately produce fruit in our lives. James 1:18 says, "Of His own will He brought us forth by the Word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of His creatures." Hebrews 4 verse 12 says, "For the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." 1 Peter 1:23 says that we're born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. You see, it's the seed that begins to get planted through the word of God that we'll begin to see great fruit birthed out of. It's the Word of God that lives and abides forever. You see, this is not just some kind of word to put into our head. It's the living Word of God that lives and abides forever. It's this that will begin to produce fruit in our hearts. May we be those that are getting into the Word of God. And again, I've said this before, this is not an end of itself. It's not just something we put in our head so that we can walk around and act like we're theological Christians that can quote scripture. This is not the end in itself. This is the means to an end. We get into the Word of God so that we can grow in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Because He is the Word. It's not just learning the Word, but it's learning the Word so that we grow and mature as believers, so that we are fulfilling what we're called to do. What are we called to do? Bear fruit. That's what it's about for the believer. And I pray that we would not fall short on that. I pray that we wouldn't be people that are walking around saying, "Look at my leaves. Look at what I've been doing. Look at this outward demonstration that I can show you." I pray that we would be more than just showing leaves. I pray that we wouldn't fall short of bearing fruit. You see, there's a real joy that comes when we begin to be people that are bearing fruit. As we begin to see that impact one another, man, it begins to be a joy. It begins to be an excitement that begins to happen in our lives. And when we're just going through the motions, when we're just living a hypocritical life, we're just going through this act, man, we're really falling short. There was a young boy that dreamed of going to a circus. Never seen a circus in all his life. A little 12-year-old boy. One day in town, he saw these posters getting put up, showing that the circus was coming into town. He ran back home and told his dad, "Dad, I would love to go to the circus. Can I go? It just costs a dollar. Can I go, please?" His dad said, "Well, if you can get all your chores done ahead of time, well, I will consider you going to the circus." Well, that next Saturday when the circus was to come into town, the little boy woke up early and got all his chores done. Worked feverishly to do all that. Came to his dad and said, "Dad, my chores are all done. Can I go to the circus?" His dad said, "Yeah, go ahead, you've earned it." Gave him a dollar to take with him and went in town, and he began to see the main street of town beginning to get crowded. People were lining the streets. Soon he began to hear the band, the people in the circus band marching through the street. It was the circus parade. And the band came marching in, playing their trumpets, their horns, and drums were beating. He began to see the caged animals coming along in the cart, seeing the lions and the tigers and all the things with the circus. He was so excited. This was exciting for him. He began to see the jugglers and all the acrobats flipping down the street. This was awesome. Soon the last thing in the circus was the clown coming down. And as the clown approached him, the young boy handed the clown his dollar bill and was so excited and ran home. What had happened? The little boy thought that was it. That was the circus. Ran home thinking he had seen it all. And yet he fell very much short of what it really was all about. And so too, I pray that we would be those that are not falling short in living the life that the Lord has for us. You see, He's given us the abundant life. And part of that abundant life is being those that are bearing fruit. That's what he has appointed us to do. That's what it's all about for the believer. And it's so easy to fall short and to think, well, I'm doing this and I'm doing that, yet it's just a bunch of leaves. It's an outward demonstration. No true fruit being birthed out of our hearts. May we be those that are coming together for weekly, if not daily, fellowship, because there's a richness that takes place in our lives and in others as we seek to encourage and edify and equip one another. May we not be those that are putting on an act of outward demonstration, trying to pass off leaves for genuine fruit. And may we invite the Lord to come and inspect us to see what may be hindering growth and fruitfulness. May we allow that painful work of tilling and watering of his word so that it can take full effect and bring about an abundance of fruit. May the Lord begin to make you fruitful, not for your pleasure, but for his. May this be the fruitiest year that we've ever experienced, not only individually, but corporately, here as the body of Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before you today, God, we just yield our lives before you. Lord, we surrender every area of our lives and say, God, would you come and fill every part of our lives? We desire to be those that are bearing fruit, and we see that it's so easy to pass off a counterfeit for real, genuine fruit. It's easy to put on a show, but Lord, you're not looking for show. You're looking for genuine fruit. Lord, may you find us faithful in that area. May you find us people that are bearing fruit. Fruit that glorifies you. Fruit that feeds one another. God, we dedicate our lives. We dedicate this fellowship, this church to you. Lord, and may this be a fruity year for us that lies ahead. May you work through each and every one of us, causing us to grow closer to you, causing us to mature in our walk with you. And Lord, we pray for great things to take place in our midst this year. We pray for your will to be done here in this place. And God, we pray ultimately that you would be seen in everything that is done, in everything that is said. May people come in and experience love in this place. That's true fruit. May people experience joy and peace. May they see patience in one another, gentleness, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, self-control. Lord, may we see that in one another. May we be those that are abiding in you, for apart from you, we can do nothing. We'll be fruitless. Lord, may we stay connected to you, not just Sundays or Wednesdays or times when we're together, but Lord, in the quiet times, in the secret times of our lives, may we remain connected to you, Lord. May we be those that are praying for one another this year, lifting each other up, phoning one another to say hi. May we pray for each other over the phone. Keep each other accountable, Lord. God, may there just be a real desire to minister one with another. And again, we just dedicate ourselves to you, Jesus. We pray in your name, Lord. Amen.